Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Expert to Authority Show. My name is Simone Vincenzi, and I'm your host. And this is the show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in the world. And today we are talking about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is by far now my favorite social media platform, and it is a gold mine. And that's why I wanted to have this guest today. And in fact, he's known as the 15-minute guy. And helps business professionals harness the power of LinkedIn in 15 minutes a day, just 15 minutes a day. With a fun and engaging approach, he makes content creation and networking easy, even for busiest people. He empowers professionals to build confidence, grow their brand, and generate a real business result. We're going to talk about the power of LinkedIn habits for business growth with the one and only Ashley Leeds. Ashley,
I love it. I love it. I love it. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great, and I'm excited to talk about LinkedIn. First of all, I would love to know what made you fall in love with LinkedIn. Why LinkedIn is such a great platform?
That is a great question, isn't it? So when I talk to people and I teach them about LinkedIn, the first thing I say is imagine it as a networking meeting. Okay, we all know that if we go to a networking meeting and go regularly, we will get business. Okay, but it's a lot of effort. You got to drive, and there's loads of, you know, and it's raining. I don't want to go out, and it takes up an awful lot of time. So I use LinkedIn like a networking thing, and because I'm here on my own, I work in a shed, and I don't get, you know, I don't have the opportunity to get out and see people. So it's like I'm going out and meeting lots of different people every single day. So although I get loads of business on it, I also have so much fun and meet amazing people. So yeah, that's why I love LinkedIn.
It's all about connection. What makes LinkedIn this more special than other social media platforms? Because, you know, when people are choosing different platforms, every platform is a bit fighting for attention, and every platform also has a different strategy. What have you found unique about LinkedIn?
Right. Okay. This is a question that I don't get asked very often, but I love this question. When you sign up for social media, you've got to put lots of information in. Okay. Now, some of the other social medias, you can go in under a pseudonym. I could just be the 15-minute guy. I could be Flash Ash. I could be Shedman or whatever else I want to be. And no one really knows who's behind that headline, that name, that entity. But with LinkedIn, I have to put in all kinds of information, where I've been working, who I know, all of that sort of stuff. Probably even have to give blood. But the thing is, when I connect with you or when I see you on LinkedIn, I know that there's a pretty good chance that you are the Italian stallion. You are that speaker guy that I've seen doing this. You've got the G-Tech business. All these different things I know about you. And therefore, straight away, we've got this, you know, an understanding. And I just talked about a networking event. You don't go to a networking event and wear a mask, you know, turn up as Batman or Spider-Man or something. You know, like, who's the guy? No one's going to talk to that guy because they don't, yeah? And so I am showing up authentically me, all right? And if I'm nasty and horrible, you're all going to know where I live and what my business is and who I speak to. So there's less chance of me being horrible and nasty. And, you know, there's some horrible people on social media, isn't there? Trolls and all that sort of stuff. So I think that we're just nicer on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that doesn't happen that often on LinkedIn.
It's
very rare. It's very rare because actually then your profile is public and is used for business. So if you got to be very careful about what you put there because, you know, if you start being abusive, if you start like... putting other people down or, as you mentioned, like putting all these other comments or trolls and so on, then actually that's going to backfire to you. So
absolutely.
People have engaged in LinkedIn in a completely different way because there are consequences.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there are consequences. Absolutely. I'm curious now about in terms of right now on LinkedIn, what works? Because the platform has evolved. Things have changed. There are things that were used to work before, things that work now. And what I would love to know from your point of view, what do you find those are the things that really work now?
Okay. I do a free drop-in on the first Monday of every month, and someone asked me a question And I apologized afterwards for being a little bit flippant with my answer because he asked about the algorithm and what's new on, on LinkedIn. I wasn't being flippant. The thing that works 100% of the time on LinkedIn, and it's not difficult, it's not complicated, is authenticity and consistency. That's it. If you're authentic and you show up regularly, it just works.
Authenticity and consistency. Let's start unpacking because I know that consistency is a big thing. We're definitely on the same wavelength because I think that a lot of people are trying to, hack the algorithm. What works right now? What are the things that, how many words shall I write this post? Is that, do I put a video? Do I put a post? Do I put a carousel? Do I put like the PDF with all the different images? Do I do a poll? So these are features, but let's start talking first about authenticity. How can authenticity translate on LinkedIn and social media platform? Let's look at some example here.
Okay, so the first thing I teach about authenticity is what would you do at a networking event? All right, you'd go in, you'd be polite, you'd be nice, you'd be friendly, you'd be open. Do all of that on LinkedIn. All right, do you wear a suit? There's lots of different things that we do that are authentically us. Now the thing is, right? Some people come onto LinkedIn and go, ah, it's a business platform. So I need to be a little bit more business-like. I need to put on a suit. I need to have a different accent. And it's like, oh, really? And it's sort of like, well, what did I say there? Did I say, and so for me, all right, I'm a simple guy. So being authentic is dead easy because every single morning when I get up, I'm me. So I just be me on LinkedIn. And that's all you have to do. And there's no rocket science about it. But so many people go, oh, I can't write that on LinkedIn. Yeah, but you said that to me yesterday when we were down the pub. So what's the difference? All right, you're a bit sweary. Then you can change some of the letters so that you can still look as if you're swearing, but you're not upsetting anybody. But you can just be you. Just be you. Here's the thing. You probably noticed my yellow t-shirt. Okay. I was invited, all right, when I first set up my business, I was invited to a networking event to a local solicitors. All right. They had the solicitors organized the networking event. So you can imagine the type of people that were going. Accountants, solicitors, investment bankers, wealth managers, all those sorts of people. And I'm thinking, can I turn up in my Converse, my jeans, and my yellow t-shirt? And I just going through my head, I haven't worn a suit for years, except for the odd wedding. And I thought, no, they've invited me. They've invited Ashley Leeds, the 15-minute guy. I'm going to show up as Ashley Leeds, the 15-minute guy. And I showed up like this. And as soon as I got there, nobody said anything. Nobody minded, nobody cared. Oh, that's Ashley, 15-minute guy. Just be you. Just be you, and don't let anyone stop you being you.
And for the people that struggle with that, because you said that for you is natural, is normal, like it is me, you see me as it is. But not everyone is like you. Some people they overthink a bit,
Oh.
or they've been putting on a mask, or you have people that because of their roles and so on, they've been putting on a persona or a mask that because the place or the environment or how they were raised didn't allow them to actually have that sense of freedom or that connection with themselves. So for those kind of people, what would be a good first step to interact on LinkedIn in an authentic way? Let's give some practical examples there.
Okay, so go and comment on someone else's post. Okay? And so read the post, read it out loud, and read it as if so I find your post and I read it out as if you're talking to me. What would I say back to you? All right? Not what would I write back because it's on LinkedIn and I want to be professional. If Simone and I were down the pub and Simone just told me this story, which he's written as a post. All right. What would I say? Go, brilliant, Simone. I really agree with that. I wouldn't agree with this, but this is this. And do you know how that, and it just do that. Now, the fun thing, right? I'm a little bit of a cheeky chappy, so I'll say things that perhaps some people won't say. Now, if I say it to your face, I'm going to smile at you and you know that I'm just joking or I don't mean it this way or what have you. Well, when I write that down, it might come over as something a little bit different. And this is where the emojis come in. And yeah. So I've actually got a piece of kit down here with emojis on it. And I press a button, the emoji pops up. Okay. So the main one that I use is the smiley face with the tears coming out. And I'm always using that because then people know that I'm just having a laugh.
Yeah. Because if you're being sarcastic without that, and people can really.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I've got into a couple of scrapes on LinkedIn, and then people have come in, and I've just gone back on the post. I am so sorry. You know me. That is not what I meant. You know, and because you know, every single post I do, every single comment I do is funny, kind, helpful. Then, every now and again, it's someone's, and I just go, look, you know, that's not me. And oh yeah, of course, sorry, silly me. So yeah, I'm not out there to be nasty and horrible to people.
I love what you shared earlier about reading your post out loud like you were having a conversation, because I think that this is the screen that we have, or throughout the phone or through the laptop or whatever tool we use to access LinkedIn, creates a separation. That's why I think also we behave in a different way. Like psychologically, I don't feel like I'm in front of you. I feel like I'm engaging with the LinkedIn platform. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, I'm scrolling down, I'm seeing a lot of posts. And so I love the reminder that what you're doing is engaging in conversations, is creating conversations,
yeah,
is sharing conversations. Because then if I treat the platform in that way, I'm also going to start engaging in a different way. Yeah. I'm going to start engaging in, oh, how would I respond to a real human that is there, that wrote a piece, that wrote something, and now I'm going to answer that. But I love to flip it. From the perspective of, let's say I want to write something, and I want to write something authentic. Sometimes there are these posts that makes me so much, like, a bit cringe on LinkedIn, I gotta say. Where it's like, oh, these are the 23 things that I have learned from a seagull shitting on my ice cream last day, right? About corporate sales. And I'm like, it feels forced. I mean, is a seagull that shot on your top, and now you're teaching about corporate sales? So very well done for the creativity of making the link. But damn, this feels really forced. And I think that people, they take it a bit too far. What's your take on that first? And secondly, how can you express authenticity? Like, what kind of things you could write in an authentic way? If you can give some categories or ideas.
Sure. Okay, so here's the thing. When I was at school, okay, I was in the bottom set for English. So I was rubbish at English. Top set for maths and did some science and stuff like that. But English, I just never got it. And throughout my life, I've done jobs where I haven't needed English because I'm rubbish at English. I'm rubbish at writing. I can't write. And a few years ago, the marketing lady said, we need some content, and explained what content was, because this is a while ago. And I've spent my whole life talking to people. I've been a sales guy for 32 years. So I've spent my whole life listening to people, understanding their needs, putting together an argument and you know, helping them to buy something. So I've been speaking and chatting to people forever. And so I just thought, well, if I've got to write this for this marketing lady, I'll just write it exactly how I talk. And you know what? She came through to see me. She goes, this is really good, Ash. And I went, really? And so they had an incentive for the sales team that if you wrote something and they used it, you got a £50 Amazon voucher. I was getting all these vouchers left, right and center. And so I've now written a book, and it's hidden behind my thing there because I've got a four on it. But I've written a book, and I never thought I was a writer because I was rubbish at English. And all I've done is articulate how I communicate with people by writing exactly as I speak.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not rocket science. And if I can write a book, Okay, then all the people that are on LinkedIn who are much cleverer than me, they can write a post on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I love that. It's about finding, thinking, starting thinking about how would I say this concept to someone, like in my own words, and then start from that point. I found when I either feel stuck. I mean, right now it's very difficult to feel stuck to write something because you got ChatGPT can give you some prompts. So as long as you say to ChatGPT, "What can I talk about to this target audience?" it's gonna give you some ideas about what to talk about. So I think that finding inspiration it becomes quite easy. But I found, for example, and I don't know if you do that as well, that I will have a conversation either with a client or with a friend or with a business partner or something about the work that I do. I'll have a conversation. And through that conversation, I'll see a reaction from them, or I see the reaction in myself. Am I engaged in this conversation? Do I feel inspired about this conversation? Do they feel shocked about this conversation? Do they have an aha moment? And so I've learned to take notes from this moment, because these moments I found that if I have an emotional reaction to this that is genuine, or I can create a genuine emotional reaction in someone else, this becomes a great post to write or a great topic to write. I don't know if you ever done something like this or if you
All
use that as well.
the time. Because I've been in sales for so long, and I don't know how many people I must have spoken to over the years in all different kinds of industries, but thousands and thousands and thousands. And I'll be talking to someone, they'll go, "Oh, this is really difficult," or "This is da da da." I've got a story. And we love stories. It's how we've evolved. So if you can tell something in a story to get the point over, it makes it so much easier. And I think that's where I come from is the storytelling. And the other thing is, Simone, people don't remember what you actually did or said, but they remember how you made them feel.
Yeah, it is about feeling. It is about feeling, whether it's online or offline, whether it's in person, right? And so I think that an invitation for anyone that is here, like if you feel a bit stuck, think about the conversation that you have. Think about the conversation you're having with people. Something that made you say, "Really? Are you serious? Are you joking? Oh my God, I agree with you!" Like these kind of moments, they are great pieces of content. But then there is a problem of consistency that I know. Like one of the in particular of your pillars when you train, you said about authenticity. We talked about that, and the other part is consistency. So tell me more about the bad and the ugly of that, and then we are going about the good and how to make it happen and how to make it consistent.
Sure. We can all be consistent. All right. We've all got routines. All right. Now I called my course. I don't do the course anymore, but I call it the Daily Habit Workshop. Okay. Because we have to get into a daily habit. And as soon as I say the word habit, we're thinking of smoking and drinking and all the naughty things. But our brain, okay, is wired to be as efficient as it can. So it doesn't want to, every morning sort of like think, right, I've got to get dressed. How do I do that? It knows. And what you do is you build in all these little routines and you've got triggers and they then become habits. And so what I try and do is get people to start getting into a habit. And a habit starts with a trigger. All right, so you finished your meal, you're going to go outside for a cigarette. That's that. The trigger is the meal, and then you've got the routine, and you feel good, and then the reward is, relax. Yeah. And so what we do is we try and work out what the trigger is, and in my training we go into the things that you have to do. So I come up with a list of those things that you do every single day when you come into LinkedIn. So you go and look at your red dots. At the top, and just get rid of them, because by doing that, you're starting to do those actions that start you showing up. Okay, then you go in and you start filling out. I've got a spreadsheet. Okay, I started working with accountants, and I know they love spreadsheets, so I've built my little tracker on a spreadsheet. But it works. It absolutely works. And what I've done is. I was chatting to somebody. I said, like, the whole idea of this, and we do this, da, 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 it's a bit like the couch to 5K. Do you know about the couch to 5K?
I know about it, but there might be a lot of people that don't know about it
Right.
because we have people from all over the world watching
Right.
what I'm
Let
saying
me
on this show. So
explain what
let's
the
go.
Catch to 5K is then. The Catch to 5K was set up by the National Health Service in the UK. Couch. Basically, there's a lot of people that just sit on the couch and watch TV. So they finish work and they come home and they sit on the couch and watch TV. They're not doing any exercise. And so the NHS are like, how do we get people to physically get out and do a bit of exercise, maybe some running? And so they created this app called the Couch to 5K and some movement and what have you. And the whole idea is over a 9-week period, you go from being somebody that sits on a couch to somebody that goes running. And I keep saying it every single course. Oh, it's a bit like the Couch to 5K. There's always someone that's done the Couch to 5K or knows someone that's done the Couch to 5K. And I keep saying, I must try it. I must see how it works. Okay. I'm not athletic. I do a few bits of exercise. I keep myself healthy. I don't smoke and I eat healthily. But I'm not a runner. No way, Jose, am I a runner. My daughter ran a half marathon a couple of years ago because she did the Catch to 5K. And so I kept saying, oh, I must do it, I must do it, I must do it. So on the last day of 2024, I went into a sports shop. All right, I had to Google to find out what a sports shop was. And in there, you can buy something called running shoes. Okay, didn't know what a pair of running shoes was, never owned a pair of running shoes. And I bought these running shoes. And on the 1st of January 2025, I opened up the app. And I went for the first run. And the very first run, Simone, was 60 seconds walking and then 90 seconds running, or the other way around. All right. And what happened is you choose a celebrity to help you. There's all these different celebrities. And now the name's gone who helped me. She's a northern comedian.
Okay.
But she I can't think of her name now. That's annoying. It's so annoying. Anyway, so what happens is you open up the app and then she turns around to you and says, Rita dear, you've got to go for a little bit of a walk and a little bit of a run, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Sarah Millican. It's Sarah Millican. So I
Yes.
did that the first day. Okay, went out and it was dead easy. It was dead easy, right? I just walked a little bit, ran a little bit. And then she says, right, you have to have a rest day and I'll see you next time. And so the day after, I went and I did it again and it was a little bit longer. And then the next time it was a little bit longer. And then it's sort of like, this week we're going to be running for 5 minutes. And I think, 5 whole minutes? I can't do that. But don't worry, you did it last week and I'm here to help you. And so the next week I did the five, and each week it got progressively harder.
Yeah.
And what I did is I opened up the app on the morning of the run. Okay. And just before we came on, I was telling you I went skiing in Italy earlier this year. And that was the week that I opened it up and I had to do a 25-minute run. And I'm just like, no, high altitude. And there isn't many flat roads up a mountain, is there? All right. And she's there
In
going,
the winter, in particular,
yeah,
winters with the snow
absolutely.
around,
Yeah. And she turned around to me. She said, yeah, be fine today, pet, because you did 20 minutes last week. So off you go. And then you're running around and doing your running. All right. And then halfway through, you're halfway there, pet. You've got this. All right. And so I completed it. I completed the
Yeah.
whole program. And people were saying to me, how are you getting on? Are you going to be a runner? What are you going to do at the end of it? And so I borrowed a pair of shorts. And all I bought was the running shoes.
Yeah.
Right. For my birthday at the beginning of May, my daughter bought me a nice new pair of shorts, a nice proper running top, and one of those fancy things to put my mobile phone in. Simone, I'm a runner. And
You're
I
a runner
actually
now.
went out this morning. I didn't have to go out because my running partner wasn't there, but I still went out and I hit my PB. All right. I managed to run 5K in less than 27 minutes. All right. Which is, it's mind blowing. But it was
Yeah.
all because I started this habit and I've got a routine and I get the reward. And so it's I did that just to see how it worked, and it's turned me into a runner. All right. I've never sort of like, oh, I'm going to run a marathon or anything like that. I might do now, who knows? But if we get into a habit and we can see it working and we get a reward, then what else can we achieve?
Yeah. So as you said, it's about building that habit. I love that meta. I love that story of the couch to 5K. Because if I think about how do I engage as well, or how I got the habit of like posting on LinkedIn daily, is now I cannot not have a day where I don't post on LinkedIn. I can't. Like, it's part of me.
Yeah.
Like, I send daily emails. I cannot have a day where I don't send an email to my database. It's habits that have been built over the past few years. Actually, over a decade now. And the question for someone to start, what is the first action as a trigger? Like, without giving away the full spreadsheet that you have built, I'm sure that if someone wants to work with you or find out, there are all the links in the show notes. So you can definitely start to learn how you can work with Ashley and the program that he runs. So you can scroll down, check the links in the show notes. But where is the starting point of that tracker? Where is the first trigger point?
So the first trigger point is the V. Okay. And what I do is I get people to look at their profile. And when you go to your profile, there's a little bit down under the analytics, and it's the people that have looked at your profile. Okay, and there's a number there. And what you do is you go in and you write that number down every single morning. Okay, and then you go and do those actions. And if you do those actions every single day, you will see that number increase. That number increasing is your reward. All right. And that number is the number of people that looked at your profile in the last 90 days. Okay. And I start off with people and they've got 20 or 30 people looking at their profile. At the end of the week, that's probably doubled just in 1 week. All right. But if you're going in and doing those things all the time, then more and more people are looking at your profile. And if those people are looking at your profile, you've got a great excuse to go and go, hey, I see you looked at my profile. Why don't we connect? All right. Yeah. But you've got that trigger and you're going in every single day. You do not need to create content every single day. I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting at everybody else that's listening now thinking, I can't write every day like Simone. You don't have to. It's about the quality. And the first thing I do when I get to the Thursday, or week four, as I call it now, we do content. All right. We do lots of other things before we get to content. And, you know, your average user of LinkedIn is going to think, no, surely the content's going to be the first day. No, there's so many other amazing things that you can do before you get to content. All right. Yeah. And I maintain that if you did the right things, you probably wouldn't need to do content, but then no one's really going to know who you are. So you have to do content. But less than 5% of people create content on LinkedIn. So if you start creating content, you're better than 95% of people. Where else in the world can you be better than 95% of people? It's just crazy. So do one post a week, just one post a week. And whatever it is you do, all right, if you're a tax specialist, do Tax Tip Tuesday. Yeah. If you're a window cleaner, you could do Window Wednesday. I don't know where that came from. You're a speaking coach, you could do Speaking Saturday. All right, just come up with an alliteration and do one post a week. All right. And as soon as you start thinking of that one post a week, your reticular activating system that's wired in your brain will start thinking of more of those. And when I do this and I've got a room full of tax people and I say Tax Tip Tuesdays, I've just finished this sentence and I now turn around and go, right, anybody here thought of a tax tip? And a few people have already put their hand up because they've already thought of something, because they were probably talking to someone yesterday about electric vehicles and the tax allowances that you get. All right. And as soon as you start thinking, right, I'm going to do Tax Tip Tuesday. Yeah, brilliant. And then next week, you've already got something. And then you'll be in the supermarket. And you're like, oh, my goodness, this is expensive. I wonder if, oh, I could write a post about that. And before you know it, you've got four or five posts in your head or on a little note somewhere. And it just makes it so much easier. And so that's all you need to do is just share something of value every single week.
I love your approach. I love your approach in particular to start because there are a couple of things that I think stops people from engaging on LinkedIn. or any other social media platform, because they can get overwhelmed by, oh my God, I cannot be present every single day. There is almost like this expectation that this is what great looks like, and this is what you must do. And therefore, if you don't do it in that way, then you are not using it at its full potential. But actually, the reality is that, as you mentioned, LinkedIn is a network. And the goal in LinkedIn is less on the feed, but it's more in the private conversations that you have with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
The goal in LinkedIn is where no one sees what's happening behind the scene. And that's where you turn those conversations into partnerships, into clients, into opportunities, into speaking engagements, wherever you want to target. And that's why I love LinkedIn so much. But I think that for people to have, not to feel the pressure to say, okay, I need to produce this insane amount of content every single day, then it's definitely a big sigh of relief. And I have a client, he's one of the top LinkedIn voices. He posts once a week, never posts more than once a week,
No.
and is a top LinkedIn voice.
I know.
To your point in case.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I had a guy who messaged me or something, and he said, "Oh, I'm struggling with content. It's sort of doing my head in." And he jumped on a Zoom and we're having a chat. And he goes, "Oh, I'm posting every day and I just can't think of stuff." And I went, "Why are you posting every day?" He said, "Well, because you've got to." I said, "No, you don't. Two or three times a week is absolutely fine. You know, when you're doing, you know, seven, two or three is like, you know, that's half, isn't it?" And he went like, "Really?" I mean, "Yes." "Oh, that's great." I said, "Good." He said, "Yeah, now I don't have to. I come in some days and I worry about what kind of rubbish I can write today." And I said, he didn't use the word rubbish, he came up with another word, but I said, "If you're thinking that, what are the people thinking that they're reading?" And he went, "Ah." So yeah, once a week, like your top voice friend, that's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do. Actually, that's been a great interview. We talked about what works right now on LinkedIn, the power of consistency and authenticity, how to start a conversation, where to find also some inspiration of things to write, and the fact that actually it's more about daily habit. And I love the concept of attaching the reward first. It's like, okay, who visits your profile? And having has the starting point of the metric. That's something, for example, I've been using LinkedIn for 14 years and I didn't look at it in that way. I check it out, I see so that I can message people, but I don't look at the number. I don't keep that as a metric of this is how my LinkedIn strategy is working or as a reward mechanism. So I'm definitely going to do it. I'm definitely going to start doing it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
For people that want to know more about how they can work with you or find some of the resources that you have, where is the best place?
Oh, I'm gonna say
Shall we say
LinkedIn, aren't I?
LinkedIn?
Absolutely. Do you
Really
know?
mind blowing.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna put this out there as well. I get people messaging me on WhatsApp, right? I check WhatsApp every now and again, and there's all these messages. Like, why are you messaging me on? I live on LinkedIn. Drop me a DM. So yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. And if you're nowhere near LinkedIn, just Google the 15-minute guy and I will come up. So yeah, no, and please reach out, connect with me. Don't just follow, connect. And that's where the gold is, because then I can see what you're up to. And if you find my profile in the contact details, there's a link to all of my free resources. So there's loads and loads of stuff. You don't even need to pay me to learn what I do.
There we go. So all the LinkedIn, Ashley's LinkedIn is on the show notes, so you can scroll down and get them straight away. And also his website as well, with all the resources. We put that in the show notes so that you can also see some of the goodies that he has on the website. Ashley, thanks again, and let's go with LinkedIn.
Yeah, let's go with LinkedIn. Hey, lovely to see you, Simone. Thank you very much for having me on this week.
All right, you are welcome. And everyone, thanks for watching or listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you subscribe. And also, reviews are the life of every show. So make sure you give us a good review, a good 5-star review. It's good for the guests, it's good for the show, and it's good for my ego. And with this, I'll see you next time. And always remember that together we grow exponentially. Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also, remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.